I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, we have a joke here, like around Halloween time, we say, if you can't figure out what to be or what to dress up like, why don't you pretend to be that person you are on Facebook all the time?
I was striving too hard or high.
This conversation is going to affect us all. They ask people, what do you pretend to fake, basically? You pretend to be something that you're not, but you fake it, and you try to make people believe that you are this.
A professional.
Okay, a professional, especially at work.
Yep.
Yeah, you're faking it. All these people got this, you know, lingo they're throwing around that sounds all fancy, and they got their act together, synergy and all those words. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're professional.
Do you concur? I concur.
That's a good one. Also, they say self-confidence, something that people pretend to be online. Self-confident?
You should always pretend to be self-confident because people cannot tell the difference in fake confidence and real confidence.
Okay. Smart or a know-it-all?
Hmm.
You know what?
I don't know how you pretend that. I mean, people are going to figure it out.
Sooner or later, but you know what? You can Google facts and stuff like that now. And then if you position it just right or word it just right, it looks like, oh, he came up with that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't somebody else that did that.
I guess if you're around dumb enough people, you could pretend to be smart. I'm just saying, if you were around dumb people, they would think you were smart even if you weren't.
Okay. Things that people pretend to be and when they're not, happy.
Like, that was going to be my choice.
Okay. Do you pretend to be happy sometimes when you're not?
Well, I'm here. I'm smiling.
At work.
I think a lot of people do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they say if you, you know, smile enough or you think positive enough, you can make yourself happier and more joyous. Mm-hmm. It's all in your mind.
Think how dumb your brain is. They're like, oh, if you smile, you can trick your brain into being happy. And your brain is like in on this. It knows that you're doing this, but it still falls for it.
Yep.
Okay.
It's like, I heard them planning this. And I'm still feeling better.
Uh-huh. All right. Something people pretend to be online, younger. Ah, that's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get a filter out before you know it. You are 10 years younger. Sometimes it's like, you know that they have a filter on it when they're like 36, but they look like they were just born.
It's me in the delivery room.
You're like, that's a cute onesie you were wearing.
Yeah, I'm 11 months old. Okay, here's something people pretend to be online, and even, I think, in conversation, is interested.
Oh, every morning.
Okay. But a lot of times you are in that conversation and you're not even listening to what the person's saying. You're just thinking, how can I get out of this conversation?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just hoping they don't ask a question about the conversation they're having with me.
I was afraid you could hear me right now.
That's especially with spouses and stuff. All right. People pretend to be injured a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like they will throw up a picture or something and they're not really injured or sick.
I would think sick would be more common. I can't come into work today. I'm feeling sick.
Yeah. Mm. People also pretend to be sincere.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, rich was mentioned. People pretend to be rich online. You can go stand beside like a fancy car or something. And you don't have to say it's yours or anything. Or, you know, you might be in like a fancy hotel and you go take that picture that looks elegant that you might have seen, you know, someone else take online and you pose that.
Shortly after, they're like, please leave, sir. You don't have a reservation here.
Exactly. But other people seen you in this fancy hotel.
I never thought about that. And you know, I used to hang out at hotels all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
we never stayed there.
Now, something that people pretend to be is funny.
How do you pretend to be funny?
I don't know that one, Tom.
We know.
I think it's the people that you're talking to pretends that you're funny.
Oh, it could be that.
You're right, Hawk.
And then finally, something that people pretend to be, a friend.
Oh, that's sad. Oof.
Yeah, that hits home, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you find out they're not really your friend.
I've had what I thought was a friend just be mean to me all week.
I know, man. Me too. I've had the same problem.
Yeah, me
same
three.
Friend. No.
It's so weird. It's like the vibe is off or something.
Is know. It a girl?
Yeah. Oh.
She's been mean to me too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you work with her like
mm-hmm.
they do?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do. It's brutal.
We're not going to say who, though.
We hope it's just because she's pregnant.
That's what I was hoping.
Because otherwise, this is going to be rough.
You need therapy.
Which one?
Which one?
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
It is time for nerd news.
Nerd news. Nerd news. Nerd news with Tom.
Oh, yeah. Now, we have got some interesting stories for today.
Good.
But I'm not going to start with one of them.
That's a good lead in.
I'm going to start with the parade of planets tonight.
Oh, yay.
Seven planets will be visible in the night sky. They say it's called the parade of planets because it's one of the few times you'll be able to see all of the planets lined up in the sky.
You got to have one of those Roper Mountain lights, you know.
They say binoculars will work.
Really?
Yeah.
For all of them?
For most of them. The only thing is Saturn is pretty close to the sun, so that one could be tough. And you might need binoculars to see Uranus and Neptune.
Oh, I don't need that. I just need a mirror.
Okay.
Just waiting on that.
But seven planets will be visible in the night sky. They say the best time to look is right around dusk.
Oh.
You may only see four or five without the binoculars, but they will be lined up together, and this will not happen again until 2040.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, what I do hate about that is I can't tell if they're stars or planets.
Okay, yeah. It's a very simple rule of thumb.
Okay.
If it twinkles, it's a star. If it's solid, it's a planet.
Oh, just like the song, Twinkle, Twinkle,
exactly
Little Star.
Exactly like the song.
I'm solid like the planet.
See, I still have issues. I guess it's my eyesight. One time I thought I saw a full moon. It was a Burger King sign.
You're going to need more than binoculars.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, just it's interesting, but I'll just wait till somebody puts out a picture from NASA. Yeah. Or something.
Gato's just going to wait till 2040. He'll catch it that time around.
I'm busy tonight.
Do I have to wear those sun eclipse
no, you don't.
Glasses you sold me?
No, they're not for this. Okay. All right, in other space news, told you not long ago there was a chance that an asteroid could hit Earth in 2032.
Yeah.
It went from 1.3% up to 2%, which is pretty high for an asteroid that could wipe out most of Earth. Now, the good news is it's gone back down to basically zero.
Aww.
But the bad news is there's now a chance it could hit the moon instead.
Oh, that ain't good.
That could be kind of cool, actually.
But it would destroy Earth, because if the moon's not in there...
I don't think it'll destroy the moon. It would just put a huge crater on it.
But if the moon shifts, everything, like our gravity shifts.
Again, the moon has been hit by just zillions of large objects
really?
Before, yes.
Now, is this the moon, what they say the moon, or is this out in Arizona desert? Mm-hmm. Where the moonwalk took
place. Kid, I don't even have time for your stupidity.
Okay.
Is this why the moon already has so much cellulite? Because it gets hit so much?
Boy, it looks like it, don't it? Yeah.
Sort of. Kind of.
It's like
and that's a nicer answer than what I first thought about saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Moon needs to go on a diet.
News that'll affect Tory animal news. You know, there's been a debate over whether wolves domesticated themselves or whether we domesticated wolves. They're now saying 30,000 years ago, wolves may have started domesticating themselves because they really liked getting treats from the table.
And fun fact, foxes, is that the plural?
That is foxes.
Foxes are starting to do the same thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, I'm here for it. I'm a every fox you know, I see.
I see foxes that look like decent pets sometimes.
They're so cute.
She's going to be during her rabies treatment.
Now, here's the interesting thing. They said 30,000 years ago when we started domesticating these wolves, there were groups of animal organizations who said, don't do that. It's wrong to domesticate them. Don't take those and put them in your house.
Yeah.
No. But it seems like they do that with everything we think will be cool to have in the house.
You think about it, if all dogs comes from wolves, like when that poodle come along?
That was much later.
Could you imagine like cavemen seeing a poodle going, what went wrong with that hair?
And it didn't work that way. We bred the poodle long after we domesticated the wolf.
You got to have a poodle to bred.
No, you get a wolf that's a little bit curly and another wolf that's a little bit curly. You breed them and you get a curlier wolf and you keep going.
Now he's making this up.
I am not. That's how it works.
Humidity is what happened to them.
Okay. It's a bad hair day for the wolves.
It was in Arizona.
Yeah.
All right, in germaphobe news, it turns out the space station may be too clean. The lack of germs is giving astronauts rashes and cold sores.
Huh.
Apparently, you need certain germs in your biome in order to get along properly, and they're so clean, they're not getting these helpful germs.
That makes sense.
I don't believe that for a second. No. I'm so clean. That's why I have all these germs. That makes no sense.
That's not what it said at all.
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
It really is. I'm like, well, I don't have to clean. That's what you're saying. I don't have
I've
to go home and clean.
I've already called you stupid once. I'm about to call Tori stupid.
Stupid is a stupid does.
I think that's why we need a good dose of Walmart shopping or just shopping in general. Make sure we get enough bacteria for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's good
you
for
healthy.
Us. Absolutely.
And it messes with your mental health, too. All right. Finally, in healthcare news, a study found that mice give their friends first aid to revive them when they're unconscious.
Hmm.
It's a little more bitey than what we do, but it does work. They will yank on the other mouse's tongue to get them breathing again.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Next time you're getting CPR, you're like, okay.
That would wake you up.
Yeah, I was like, stand back.
Your tongue and starts pulling on it. You'd be like, stop already.
Wait, you got to bite the tongue?
That's how they have to do it.
Oh, because I was like, I'd rather pull someone's tongue than give them mouth to mouth.
Well, the mice don't have hands to do that with, so they use their, that's just bite true. The tongue and pull on it.
Mouth to mouth, be like a 10-second Frencher now. Just a lot of suction there.
With teeth.
Yes. Well, you could do that.
I dated a girl like that once.
Or you could just, suck the tongue in like a straw.
Oh, it would probably get in the back of my throat and I'd start gagging.
You need a big old straw, one of those big chunky ones.
It's good that y'all are not mice.
Yeah.
And I'm about to call somebody stupid again.
And then I won't say what I was thinking.
Go ahead.
I want to hear it.
Thinking Bobo tea straws, the big ones.
Yeah, the big Boba tea.
You just walk around.
Yeah, I'm here to save your life.
All right.
Never mind, let me die.
That's a sad end to nerd news.
No, honestly, funny. I got to tell you something. It's fun not being the stupidest one on the show, Tom.
Okay.
Not today, you're not.
Nerd news with Tom.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When's the last time you did a favor for someone, or maybe someone did a favor for you? They did some research and they found that asking for help, even from friends and family members, lead to guilt and obligation.
Yeah,
do it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it. I won't do it.
What do you mean? You won't ask for a favor?
I don't know the last time I've actually asked for help. Even when I moved, I did it myself. I might have asked a friend to help me move the big stuff, but...
Well, how about bumming a ride or something?
Yes, Uber.
Okay. All right. They said that one way many people relieve this guilt and obligation is by heading to the mall or buying some kind of small token of appreciation for the friend or family member just so they can even the score of the favor that they just asked for.
I'm with Cato. I don't like to ask for favors.
I mean, I have close friend, but I can't think of anything.
Okay. What I've been working on is to not feel the guilt afterwards. Like, I just asked for the favor, and then I'm like, they did this because they love me, and I don't really feel like they want anything in return.
I don't even really think of asking for favors.
Wow.
And then someone else will ask me for one, and I'm like, oh, yeah. But those exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't even cross my mind.
But you know what? That's why we are built for communication and built for... I can't think of the word now.
Mooching off of other people. That's you, Hawk. You're a favor asker. You will ask for favors and think nothing of it.
You're my computer friend. I would think that you could ask me for a favor, and I'd want to do the same
thing
for you.
What would I ask you for?
Like computer help, right?
No, I mean, there's plenty of things you could ask me
like
for.
Like what?
You know what? A friend in need is a friend indeed.
What?
What does that even mean?
That irritates, that saying right there, because like Tom was saying, there's people out there that just don't mind asking for everything, okay, no matter what it is. And I had a neighbor move in many years ago. It was a rental property that a couple of doors down, and she kept wanting to borrow things. And it became annoying. And all she would do is say, a friend in need is a friend in need. And I'm like, I'm not going to answer my door next time he comes. She didn't live there long. But I'm like, when you ask for too much, it becomes annoying.
Okay.
So I understand where Tom's coming from.
No, Hawk. When you're taking advantage of somebody, that's different.
See, well, that's why I don't even think about it.
What is the difference exactly?
Well, because if someone's constantly taking advantage of you and not reciprocating.
I still don't have sugar. She borrowed all my sugar. I still don't have any.
And you know what? Is that something you do return? It's like, hey, you know what? I borrowed the, you know, a little cup of sugar. I'm returning it this week because I went to the grocery store.
No, what you do is if you borrowed the sugar for a cake or whatever else, give me a slice of cake.
Okay, I agree with that one. I borrowed an egg from a neighbor before we were cooking, and I'm like, I need an egg. Didn't want to go to the grocery store, and I said, can I borrow one of your eggs?
Well, see, my mom, she's actually was baking a cake for one of her neighbors, and she said, I need to go get eggs. She goes, I might just see if they got eggs. You know, borrow some eggs. I'm like, my mom, would you be borrowing those eggs? She goes, well, the cake's for them. I said, well, then you would be.
Yeah,
you'd be giving the eggs right back to them, but in a better form.
Exactly. Matter of fact, they can get by all the ingredients for that cake if you're making it for them.
I agree. I agree.
But a lot of people feel an obligation or guilt. And here's something, Tom. Here's one. It wasn't for me. How many times do you ask someone to babysit your kids when they were younger?
We did our in-laws for
that. Exactly. That counts, though.
They're talking, it doesn't, because they loved babysitting the kids. They would have been upset if they didn't get to.
I enjoy babysitting, so they ask, I will be there.
But it's friends and family, they say, are in this when you're trying to even the score, even when you're asking for favors for them. But I think you've probably had done plenty of favors for your in-laws as well throughout the years. It's like, I know we're built for connection. All of us are built for connection. And here's what we do. We get alone, we get on our social media devices, and we don't truly connect with people except by engaging on social media. And that's not true connection. When you ask for a favor or when you are in trouble, you're in need, you need somebody, it's got you back.
Sometimes I'd prefer to disconnect.
Yeah.
Especially
when someone needs a favor.
Just cut that cord.
That's true, though. I mean, but that's where we're all going.
Well, you know, family's different. You know, you help family. And I got close friends that I'll do anything for. But I had a friend call one time years ago. He was home, didn't have a car, and needed cigarettes.
Okay.
Now, if you're a smoker, you know you got to have your cigarettes. I said, sure, I'll run by the store, pick you up some, bring them to you. He goes, but the only thing is, I smoke special cigarettes, and you can only find them. It's going to be like 10 miles from my house at this little store. You can only buy them there. I'm like, then you're not getting cigarettes today.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I will get you cigarettes at the convenience store between my house and yours, but I'm not going out of my way to get a pack of cigarettes.
It is amazing the audacity of some people.
Yeah.
Asking a favor, and then when they're sure, and it's out of their way already, and then you go, but actually, I only take this, or I only, like, if someone's doing you a favor, you deal with whatever they give you.
Can you send me some cash? I only have Venmo. I'm like, okay, I don't have Venmo. Or can you do it this certain way with a certain app? I'm like, here's the cash. Go buy you something.
Only fives and 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With Venmo, you'll have proof that you actually loaned it to them, because I don't have that proof.
Well, they say you can consider a handwritten note if you ask for a favor. Also, big thing that people do, they cook for somebody else. They will like, okay, you know what? You helped me move. You drove me to the airport. Here is a cake. Here's a pie. Here's some cookies.
That's good. You know, I always have friends. Hey, you want to paint your house? Just have pizza and beer. I said, like, I want all y'all in here eating pizza and drinking beer.
And painting my house.
Yeah, painting. I mean, I can do a better job by myself, it like it is.
I accidentally painted this window right here. I had no idea.
This is a picture on the wall.
Why I don't do this if I can help it.
You know what, though?
I don't mind helping.
Okay. I think favors are meant for society.
That's because you get most of them.
True. Good point. By the way, my computer's been acting out.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
You know, there is a spooky story going around online right now, and I want to share it with you, but I want to share it because I actually found something even more, I guess, spooky or eerie than this one.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with this one that's going around on the internet right now.
So I'm an ER doctor, and I have a story that is 100% true and still gives me chills to this very day. And although I got permission to tell it, I haven't told many people until now. Many years ago, I was working in the ER, and I got a patient who was a drowning victim, a five-year-old girl who had fallen in the family swimming pool. When paramedics brought her in, they were doing CPR still. She had no pulse, no blood pressure, she wasn't breathing, and no signs of life. We brought her back to the ER room, and we attempted to resuscitate her. I placed a breathing tube, and fortunately, after about 10 minutes, we got her pulse and blood pressure back. Family arrived, and parents, of course, were extremely distraught. Dad particularly was really taking it hard. He was blaming himself. He was saying, I should have known better. It's all my fault. I should have known better. It's all my fault. I attempted to reassure him. I was like, sir, listen, this is not your fault. Accidents happen all the time. It was a complete accident. And he said, no, you don't understand. When I was a little kid, I went to stay with my grandparents, and they told me not to go down to the river that was right behind their house. I wandered down there anyways. I got in the river. I got in trouble, and I almost drowned. I started screaming for help. My grandpa ran out of the house, dove in the water, and he saved my life, but he lost his that day. And the dad said, first I killed my grandpa, now I almost killed my daughter. Mm. And I, again, tried to reassure him. I was like, sir, it's just an accident. It's not your fault. You know, everything will be okay. And the patient was admitted up to the pediatric ICU. A few days later, I'd gotten word that the little girl had woken up in the pediatric ICU and they had extubated her, taken out the breathing tube. So after my shift, I went up to visit with the family and the little girl. Obviously, the little girl wasn't talking too much because she's still recovering. So I'm talking to the mom and dad. They're extremely thankful. They're very grateful. And obviously, they're overwhelmingly ecstatic that she's going to survive this awful ordeal. So then I turn my attention to the little girl and I'm like, just sparking up natural conversation. Hey, do you remember me? And she's like, no. And I said, do you remember the nurses? Do you remember the paramedics? No, no. And now nowhere, she goes, I remember Sam. And I said, who's Sam? She goes, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, what was Sam doing? Thinking, was he, you know, doing chest compression? Someone in the ER? I don't know. And she said, he was holding my hand. And I said, what did he look like? She said, he was wearing a hat and a funny jacket. And then I'm like, okay, I didn't know who she's talking about. Then the dad walks over and he's punching on his phone and he pulls up a picture from Facebook and he points it at her and he goes, was that Sam? And she said, yeah, that's him. That's Sam. And dad turns to mom and he goes, oh my God, that's my grandpa.
Oh.
So his grandpa, who had died 25 years earlier, saving him from drowning, was there holding her hand as we were doing the resuscitation.
Oh, wow.
That is pretty amazing story.
It gives you goosebumps.
That one gave me goosebumps. Yeah. But as much as that one gave me goosebumps, I think I have one that may be even crazier now that I want to share with you.
Wow, though. Sam, that's
all right.
Okay.
This came from a friend of mine who's on the radio, and they were asking for unusual ways that someone had met their spouse.
Okay.
Okay, and this guy called, and he said, actually, he wrote an email. He said, I would call you, but I drive a school bus, so this email is all I can do. I was married 2005, my first child in 2008, and my wife found someone else in 2011. Part of the divorce was shared custody. Depression built up as she had found someone new, and I only occasionally had our son. One time when I dropped him off at her new place, I was in a really bad spot. On my car ride home, I screamed that I had reached my end, that I was going to go home, load my weapon, and I would give it 5 minutes. If there was anything out there that didn't want me to die, then something needed to happen. I was going to be alone for at least a week so no one would know. While I sat there with the gun, 4 minutes and 37 seconds later, an unknown number called me. I answered, and she said God spoke to her and told her to call this number and go with her to church.
Wow.
11 years later, she is my wife, and we have 3 girls.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty intense stuff there.
Yeah.
But these stories are out there, and they're pretty intense whenever you hear them. It's like it makes the hair stand up on your arms.
I think we just float around here, you know, with our everyday life, you know, paying bills, going to the grocery store, picking up kids, stuff like that. But I think there's stuff going on above us, like principalities, demons, and angels fighting it out like a, you know, wrestling match.
Oh, I watch Stranger Things documentary. I know there's an upside down world.
Yeah, okay.
My wife had a thing like this once. She was at a church retreat, and there was a lady there who had had some strokes in the past, and she woke up at like 2 in the morning and had this just urge, this presence making her call that lady and check on her. And sure enough, that lady was having an episode.
Yeah.
And my wife woke her up, and she was able to get medical help.
Well, my friend worked ER in Knoxville, and she said the hospital that they had a polio floor for the kids, which obviously is not used at this point. But she said that it got to the point where if an elderly patient came in and they would say, these kids were keeping me up all night, or there was a kid walking around last night, they would pass away within 24 hours. And so they believed that the kids of the hospital would kind of help people pass over.
Or else they were killing them.
There's that too.
Okay. Are you talking about ghost kids from the past?
Well, yeah, polio was a long time ago.
Yeah, I got
so this hospital had a polio ward. You have to explain these things for him. These kids were long gone.
It's okay if I take a little bit extra time.
I didn't say it wasn't.
I told her
she needs to slow down for you.
I told you that some of us have coworkers that are devils too.
It's the upside down world. That's what it is.
Which one am I in now? The lower one, I think.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.